We noticed an article in the Capital Times yesterday about the latest proposal in the wind turbine siting debate in Wisconsin, and we thought it was time for an update. Should the Public Service Commission consider local ordinances regulating wind farms when approving projects? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 10th. Republican State Senator Frank Lassay of DePere is the author of a bill that would put local ordinances back into the mix. We will hear from a guest coming up after 6:30 about why this is not a good idea. We invited Senator Lassay to explain his bill this hour, this half, but he declined due to a scheduling conflict. So we instead invited a political and environmental policy analyst to give us an update on the status of wind energy in Wisconsin and how this latest proposal plays in this ongoing and long-standing debate. We will also welcome your questions, maybe even your experiences when it comes to wind turbines. Maybe you are a big fan, so to speak, or maybe you want them as far away from you as possible. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Michael Kraft, Professor Emeritus of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to you.
Well, same to you.
So before we get into Senator Lassay's bill, help us understand, what is the current law or the current status of wind siting in Wisconsin?
Well, I think the status has been unclear for about a year and a half now. The Public Service Commission, after about a year of consideration, developed some new statewide regulations for wind power, wind turbine siting. The Republican legislature challenged that, and there's been some uncertainty over the last year of what would become of the PSC rules. The last I heard, Phil Montgomery, who's Governor Walker's appointee to head the commission, was trying to find a compromise, and then along comes this new bill by Senator Lassay, who tends to favor local rather than statewide regulations. I think his concern is that local governments and residents in local areas should have more say about any location, particularly of a large turbines. And so the state has been offering kind of a mixed message to the industry as to whether they ought to, you know, power up, so to speak, in the state and develop wind power, create jobs, manufacturing jobs, as well as construction jobs and maintenance jobs. And the state has been losing out to some neighboring states in that regard. So it's a little curious. We have a very big emphasis, of course, on economic development and job creation in the state, and wind power certainly offers that, as I'm sure your next guest will argue, and yet this has been held up to some extent by the uncertainty over our statewide regulation.
Just a little bit more history here. It used to be there were no statewide standards, and local governments might choose to have their own local ordinance, and the wind industry said that patchwork of local ordinances made it just about impossible to site wind turbines, too.
Correct, and this is why Senator Lassay's proposal seems to be a bit of a throwback to the old regime. That is, the wind industry wanted to have uniform statewide regulations to offer some clarity rather than having to face a patchwork of local regulations and I guess, understandably, local opposition, particularly to large wind farms. So we developed the statewide regulations, and the legislature was not satisfied with that and decided to put it on hold. And the proposal that came out of the governor's efforts in this regard called for a very stringent siting. I think it was 1,800 feet from the nearest property line, and that would have been the most stringent siting requirement in the country, and which would have been a strong discouraging factor for further development of the wind industry. And so the PSC has been trying, I imagine, to work with the various parties involved to find a compromise situation. And Lassay's arguing that we ought to go back to the old regime in a way and let local governments and make the decisions, which would, I think, mean that wind opponents would have something of an upper hand.
It isn't clear to me whether his bill would have the local ordinance be the end-all, or if it was just that the PSC would have to consider a local ordinance. Is it clear to you?
It's not clear. It's not clear to me from what I've seen in a couple of, I haven't read the bill, I've seen a couple of articles that describe it, and the thrust of it is that the senator wants local governments to use local zoning ordinances to deal with siting. And this is, of course, this bill has just been introduced. It has not yet been debated on the Senate floor. But the feeling in the wind industry is that this would discourage the location of additional wind turbines. And partly that's because so many people at the local level tend to be opponents of wind turbines. That is, they cite a variety of effects. Some don't like the looks of, course, wind turbines can be very large. This generation, eventually, I think we'll see a new generation that will be smaller. But people tend to worry about property values. Some people worry about aesthetic considerations. Some worry about health effects. And so at the local level, I think the opponents are likely to show up and argue very strongly against location of wind turbines, particularly more than a few. That is, a large wind farm would have real obstacles at the local level, which is why we look to statewide regulations and why the industry prefers that over local decisions.
We are talking with Michael Kraft. He is a professor emeritus of political science and public and environmental affairs at UW Green Bay, talking about a new bill that has been introduced by Republican State Senator Frank Lassay of DePere that would require the Public Service Commission to consider local ordinances when approving wind turbines. We are talking about how this plays into this longstanding debate on wind siting and the state of wind energy in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions and your reactions to this compromise. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you think that local ordinances should be considered in future wind development in Wisconsin? Or would you support the statewide standards? Are you generally a fan of wind turbines or not so much? Do you or does someone you know live near a wind turbine, and what's it been like? We welcome your input. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly sunny. Highs will be in the mid-40s in the north to the low 50s in the south and west. Then tonight, becoming cloudy in the northwest, a slight chance of light snow tonight. Lows will be in the upper 20s to low 30s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of snow in the northwest during the day, but that will spread statewide overnight. And look at this, 3 to 5 inches of snow possible across southern and southeastern Wisconsin. Highs will be in the low 30s in the north to the low 50s in the far southeast. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 10th. Coming up after the news, after 6:30, we will talk with a guest who opposes a bill that was proposed by Republican State Senator Frank Lassay of DePere that would require the PSC to consider local ordinances when approving future wind turbines in Wisconsin. Right now, we are talking with an analyst, a political and environmental policy expert, Michael Kraft. He is a professor emeritus at UW Green Bay. He's explaining to us the longstanding debate over wind siting in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions and your input, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We did invite Senator Lassay to join us this morning, but he declined due to a scheduling conflict. We have on Facebook Soren writing, "Wind is a free natural resource. Why are we not using more of it?" Professor Kraft?
Well, it is free. Of course, you have to build the machinery to harvest that free resource, and that is not free. But Soren makes a good point, is that we There are many different energy sources, many pros and cons to each one. We have a raging national conflict going over the so-called Keystone XL pipeline. We have about natural gas fracking. We, of course, talk about nuclear power and coal power. Wind and solar and other renewable energy sources offer a very different future, and they're never going to be a huge portion of our national energy consumption or state energy consumption in the next, you know, decade or so. But they have some real advantages, and one being that it's an available resource that is easily tapped. Doing so would create jobs, manufacturing jobs, maintenance jobs. But every energy source also has its downside, and as we've been talking, the downside of wind power is you have to build currently very large turbines to harvest that free resource, and there are a lot of objections raised to constructing wind turbines. Not so much in what happens after that, but people object to seeing the turbines on their property or nearby. In fact, you couldn't have Senator Lacey on, but I see a quote from him in the Wisconsin Ag News just the other day, and what he said is, over the last several months, I've spoken with numerous Wisconsin residents who have complained about wind turbines. Their complaints range from nausea, sleep loss, headaches, dizziness, vertigo, the value of their properties, and so on. And that's the downside. People may be unrealistic about some of the effects of wind turbines, but there obviously is a substantial number of people who are concerned about those effects.
Yeah, when you say unrealistic, is there any scientific studies as to health effects of these?
To my knowledge, no, but I'm not sure we've had systematic studies, particularly related to vibration or low-frequency sound coming from wind turbines. I think the last time we talked, we agreed that there should be some definitive study or at least a summary of what we know that might resolve people's concerns. People hear about side effects like this and immediately assume there must be something to it. And others, people who live close by and who say, well, I haven't been feeling well and I think it's the wind turbine. And some people may genuinely be reacting to a flicker or to low-frequency noise, and in other cases, it's just people's imagination. But as long as that concern is out there, it needs to be addressed in a definitive way. Other concerns are pretty obvious, which is people don't like the sight of large wind turbines, and they believe it will lower their property values. And I think there is some way to deal with that. When people allow wind turbines to be built on their property, and we're largely talking large landowners or farmers, the agricultural sector, there's some compensation by the wind power company. And if that compensation could be extended in some way to the neighbors, maybe that would resolve some of their concern. That is, there's a fairness or equity concern among those who gain nothing from the wind power construction, but yet have to tolerate, seeing the wind turbines themselves.
We'll take a call from Virginia in Rock County. Hello, Virginia.
Hi. I'm a fan of the wind and sustainable energy, but there is a big concern with wind turbines in that the energy companies always choose the bird migratory routes to put the turbines on, and there are huge bird kills. And they don't invest any money in doing, there's 1,000 ways that they could help prevent these kills. And my question is, if he knows the kill rate now at the Horicon Marsh.
Professor Kraft?
I'm afraid I don't. I'm sure there are ornithologists and biologists who could speak to that. But here's why I think there is some advantage in statewide regulations. There's no reason why siting regulations for the state could not include some kind of environmental impact study and some regulations that would direct wind turbine companies to locate their facilities so as to minimize killing of birds and bats and any other effects of that kind. Whereas if it's done at the local level, I think it's much more difficult to have a consistent approach that would minimize bird kills.
If you have a question about wind siting in Wisconsin and the current status of wind energy development in the state, and this new bill proposed by Republican State Senator Frank Lassay of DePere that would require the PSC to consider local rules when approving wind turbines. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Margie on Facebook writes, "The wind doesn't always blow, and if it blows too hard, the turbines don't work. Turbines also are very costly to manufacture and maintain. Many government-subsidized turbine and solar panel manufacturers have gone bankrupt. I am sick of seeing hard-earned tax money blown on this failed industry." Is she right?
Well, of course, every energy source has some subsidies. And it sounds like Margie's referring to the Obama administration's subsidy of solar energy manufacturers, and particularly the Solyndra company, mm-hmm. which went bankrupt after receiving federal funds. But wind turbine companies, to my knowledge, have minimal subsidies. And the companies are actually eager to expand. The industry in Wisconsin has argued that the current restraints are costing the state up to 1,000 jobs and something like $1 billion in new investment. So I think they're eager to invest and to create jobs. Now, as Margie indicates, there is some uncertainty over when you can use wind turbines. Obviously, the wind has to be blowing, and this is why you want to site wind turbines in areas that have fairly substantial wind and consistent wind. You also have to do more than just build the turbines. You've got to have some way of store. Eventually, particularly as we get more wind turbines, you have to have a way of storing the energy efficiently and of reworking the national electricity grid for both solar and wind to make it more efficient. And there are lots of people working on that. It's been part of the national energy policy debate for some time to modernize the electrical grid and to develop batteries that can store wind energy. So in the short term, those certainly are problems. As the industry develops, I think those problems will become much less important.
How important do you think wind power is to the future of Wisconsin?
Well, I think it's very important. Wisconsin is not in a good position, as are many states in the Southwest, to rely heavily on solar panels for developing electricity. We do have some solar panels throughout the state, but wind could be really valuable. And in another kind of energy development, biofuels. We're going to be moving away from use of corn to make ethanol to biofuels, that is other kinds of crop waste and so forth. And I think the state would do well to invest more in alternative energy. This is the future of the country. You know, and the way to appreciate the whole debate over wind power is to think of it as energy policy. That is, at the national level, we're going to have to make some important choices between nuclear power and coal, between importing oil and using something other than gasoline in our vehicles. And wind power is part of that national debate, and it's why I believe we have to have some consistent statewide policies, even if they take into account local preferences. But I don't think the state can go forward or the nation if we have a patchwork of local ordinances that make it very difficult for the industry to take off. And the industry does offer the promise of substantial job growth and economic development in the state. And so for that reason alone, I think we should welcome it. But it also helps us move away from the traditional sources we use. You know, wind obviously generates electricity. Right now, the major ways we generate electricity in the state are nuclear power plants and coal-fired power plants. And coal is a very dirty fuel. So in many ways, wind power is preferable. The industry is ready to go. Jobs can be created, but we need to have some consistent regulatory standards before the industry is going to move in any real substantial way.
Kevin in Footville is with us. Hello, Kevin.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think your guest is being disingenuous when he says that the main issue that people bring up, or the first one that they always bring up, is aesthetics. The people I've talked to in wind farms, the problem is they can't sleep at night. They have heart trouble. Their animals are dying. They can't sell their homes. They don't want to sell their homes. They don't want to leave. These are homes that they bought and want to live in their whole entire lives and die, but they can't stay. People are abandoning their homes. I think what keeps happening with the wind issue is that the wind proponents keep bringing up all these various issues. They never look at what's actually happening. Right now, you can see the Glacier Hills Wind Farm on Wisconsin radar. It's there every day. These people are living in a storm. It's right outside of, I believe it's Iron Ridge, but it's the Butler Ridge Wind Farm, and it's always on the radar because it's closest to Sullivan. I don't know if I can give people's names. I'll just say there's Jerry, Larry, and a couple other people who would really like to get on this radio and tell people what are happening to them in the wind farms, because it's just terrible that they have to live under these things, because it's mostly nighttime generation, which does nothing to stop the burning of coal. So you can't say that wind energy is clean when it isn't doing anything at night.
All right. Well, Kevin, we hope others will call in as well. And I don't think, Professor Kraft, you meant to put aesthetics at the top of the list.
Yeah, correct. I said there were a number of concerns. People are raising health concerns. They are raising property value concerns. And some are raising aesthetic concerns. I don't think the aesthetic concern is the major one at all. And I do wish we could have a definitive study of these health effects. Obviously, as Kevin says, there are people who are, you know, not happy. They're seeing light. They're seeing flicker. They're feeling vibrations. They believe their property values are declining as a result. And I think the state really needs to, you know, get a definitive answer on that, or we cannot move forward easily. And this is what Senator Lacey is trying to do, is to make it easier for people who feel the way Kevin and his friends do to speak out and have local officials have some say in the matter.
We have just a minute to go. What kind of future do you see for Senator Lacey's bill?
Well, as I said, Phil Montgomery, the head of the PSC, has said he's trying to find a compromise, and I imagine he will take that into account. I think it'd be a bit of a throwback to abandon statewide regulations, particularly for large wind turbine farms, and to go to strictly local ordinances. But I do think, you know, for any siting decision at the local level, people need to have a say, and I'm sure the statewide siting regulations are going to permit local hearings and, you know, consideration of people's real concerns.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Michael Kraft, Professor Emeritus of Political Science and Public and Environmental Affairs at UW Green Bay. You don't have to go away. We're going to continue talking about this topic with a guest who is a fan of wind energy. First, we'll check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about the latest development in the wind turbine siting debate in Wisconsin in this half hour, and we will hear from a guest who opposes new legislation that would make the Public Service Commission consider local ordinances when approving a wind turbine project. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, January the 10th. We heard from a guest analyst in our first half hour about the state of wind energy development in Wisconsin and how this new proposal by Senator Frank Lacey fits into the debate. Senator Lacey was unable to join us today. Now we will hear from a wind energy advocate, and we will continue to welcome your questions and views too, and perhaps your experiences. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our next guest is Jenny Heinzen, Small Wind Coordinator for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. She is also a member of the state's Wind Siting Council, which advises the Public Service Commission on developing statewide standards for wind siting. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us. Great. So what is your take on Senator Lacey's compromise bill?
Well, you know, there have been many different attempts to get local control back when it comes to wind turbine siting ever since Act 40 was passed in 2009. And this is a little bit of a different way. Normally, the way that we would see opposition to large wind farms would be through setback numbers or other numbers dealing with sounds or shadows. But in this particular bill, what he's doing is interesting, because he's adding a preface to a state statute that was written actually back in 1982, I believe, and reworded in 1993 to include wind energy. But it's state statute 660401, and what that state statute has always been meant to do is protect. Basically, it was written for homeowners, anyone who wanted to put solar power or wind power on their premises, to stop local opposition just based on the "I don't want to see that in my backyard" sort of argument. It protects the installers of solar and wind power. And what he's doing here in this bill is saying in all places except when the local ordinance includes excessive setback requirements. So when I say excessive, meaning there's no numbers attached to the bill, but something other than, more restrictive than, what the PSC would be recommending in their statewide rules.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you don't think it's a good idea?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I guess I can understand the opposition. I don't say I agree with it, but I can understand it a little bit more when it comes to the large wind farms. Some people view these as industrial establishments that don't belong near residential homes. But what bothers me most about this bill and other bills that I've seen similar to it in legislation that was proposed is this also hurts the customer who wants to purchase their own smaller wind system for their own personal use. And that could be, you know, a homeowner, a farmer, a school, a small business, a large business for that matter. But this bill not only covers large wind farms where you could be talking, you know, the 300-foot towers with 150-foot blade lengths and, you know, industrial wind. But what worries me most is the customer-owned distributed generation, that this affects all wind, whether it's one turbine or 100 turbines, whether that turbine is rated for 2 kilowatts or 2 megawatts. And that's what I really see as being the biggest problem with this particular bill, is it changes, again, that state statute, 660401, saying that local cities, villages, and towns cannot place unnecessary restrictions on these wind energy systems.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Professor Kraft. How important is wind power to the future of Wisconsin?
I think it's very important, whether we're talking about money, jobs, and those jobs could include, of course, you know, transportation jobs, construction jobs, technician jobs, but also includes a vast amount of manufacturing, supply chain. This state is prepared to not only construct turbine parts and accessories, but install them, run them, and we've got a pretty decent wind resource in many parts of this state. You know, our capacity factors of our large wind farms here in Wisconsin are equal to those running in Iowa right now. Sometimes the argument is that Wisconsin isn't really a good place to put wind turbines. We're not very windy. And that's just simply not true in many cases. Like I said, our production and our numbers are comparable to those in Iowa.
And you were on, or are on, the Wind Siting Council. You were in favor of the uniform statewide standards that the PSC approved before Governor Walker was governor?
Yes, I did approve of those rules. By vote, we had to, all of us had to vote at the final meeting as to whether or not we would like to see that passed. And, of course, I voted for it, but that was based on compromises. I'm sometimes tickled when we talk about that, you know, these new pieces of legislation coming through are compromises to what the PSC has created, when, in fact, what the PSC and the Wind Siting Council created almost a year ago now was a series of compromises. The final rules from the PSC and the statewide siting PSC 128 were far more restrictive than what we had seen in the past. Many times the setback requirements to a homeowner's the house exactly was 1,000 feet or more. Now we're seeing 1,250 feet, and the language has changed from a dwelling unit to a property line. So we're really seeing these setback distances get further and further throughout the years, and more compromise at this point really isn't an option, because by pushing these setbacks further and further, we're basically running out of places to put wind turbines in Wisconsin. If we say they have to be a half a mile away from a property line of anybody, well, it's pretty tough to find anywhere in Wisconsin that's going to be a half a mile from a property line of anybody.
Well, how do you read the opposition to the compromise PSC rules that were approved by Governor Walker and others who wanted to make that even stricter?
Well, again, I can understand the argument that, and I sincerely believe that what it boils down to is that people just don't want to see these. There have been a number of reasons cited as to why wind turbines may not be the best type of energy for our system or for our state. And again, I can understand many of these arguments. I just don't agree with them. I ultimately think it really boils down to the aesthetics of the wind turbines, and it's a fear of change. And maybe even on a much larger scale, some just aren't ready for such a huge paradigm shift in the way we view how we produce energy, how we use energy, and how we should move into more resources, distributed resources, parallel generation, instead of relying on very large base load systems, just a couple plunked about the state that can give everybody everything they need.
Yeah, we heard from a caller, though, in our first half hour who said it's not the aesthetics. It's, you know, he has friends who have insomnia and health problems and just, you know, can't tolerate living in their homes anymore.
And there have been, you know, many studies, many papers. It was my thesis category at UW Green Bay as well. And it's, again, understandable that people feel that they are affected by these wind turbines. But, you know, study after study has really shown that you cannot cause, you can't make a causational link that wind turbines cause health problems. Wind turbines, you know, depending on the person, because it's not everybody. In fact, it's just a handful of people in each project that seem to be most upset by the sounds coming from the turbines, the inability to sleep, or whatever their symptoms that they claim to be. It seems to be, first of all, it's the closer you are to the wind turbines, the more likely you are to be upset by them. And secondly, I really feel that it's a matter of annoyance, and some people find them annoying, other people don't. And when you can get yourself so worked up and so upset and you feel like something's out of control and you're annoyed and you see it and you hear it constantly, that, of course, it can perhaps cause things like headaches or these perceived health effects. But I do not believe whatsoever in any sort of causational wind turbines cause sickness sort of argument. I really don't think that's the case at all.
Dan in Milwaukee joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Joy. Just to respond to Jeff and the health concerns, I live about 2 miles north of Mitchell Field in Milwaukee. I have planes flying all hours of the day and night, 365 days a year. To the north of me, about a half a block away, I have freight trains that run 365 days a year. They blow their whistles at night before they, and I don't live far from an intersection. And some of these trains are so heavy they shake my entire house, and I'm about almost a half block away. And as far as I know, my health is fine. So if Jeff ever wants to move anywhere, make sure he's not near an airport or any railroad tracks.
Yeah, and so you just you dismiss his concerns.
Yep, I do.
Yeah, all right. Thanks very much, Dan. I'm going to move on to Matt in Milwaukee. Hello, Matt.
Hi. I just wanted to relay an experience I had last winter, right in the thick of the sighting distance issue. I'm from Milwaukee, and I wanted to get out to the country on a Sunday afternoon, and I wound up near Horicon, where there's a large wind farm, and I thought, you know, I gotta see how loud these things are. So I pulled my car over, rolled my window down, and I was very close to a house. The farmhouse was about, you know, 30 feet from the highway, and the turbine was as close as I could get, you know, maybe a block away, and you know, with my car window open, I couldn't hear a thing. So then I'm like, okay, I'll turn my engine off. So turn my engine off, still couldn't hear anything. So then I think I'm going to get out of the car. And like the whole time, cars are going by, semis are going by. I'm just about blown off the road, and I can't hear a thing. And meanwhile, you know, this house, this farmhouse that's been there 100 years is being inundated with you know, traffic from the highway. And I think, you know, whatever annoyances there are, all any American needs to do is, like our previous caller, go maybe down to Oak Creek Power Plant and see if they'd want to live anywhere near that. The impact on our lakes, or they could go to, you know, Louisiana or Texas where the oil refineries are and you can't live within 20 miles those places.
Thank you very much, Matt. You want to talk some, Jenny, about, I guess, these trade-offs and the other sources of energy?
Well, right. Matt brings up a really good point, and that, you know, energy has to come from somewhere. It doesn't just magically appear in these little holes in our walls. And when it comes to producing energy and electricity, we always have to take a look at what are the positives and the negatives of all these different types of resources. What are the risks of something going wrong, and what are, you know, what's the consequences if something goes wrong? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad's it going to be? You look at oil, you look at gas, you look at coal, you look at nuclear problem, and the environmental impacts are many, and they're severe. Matt mentioned, you know, mercury in the lakes. We can talk about, you know, particulate emissions and the possibility of a nuclear disaster. There, every form of energy that we use has risks. So it boggles me sometimes, and I have to take a step back and take a look at all the different forms of energy. And this is why I am such a proponent of wind power, is that when you look at the absolute worst-case scenario, if something went catastrophically wrong with a wind turbine, you know, no one's ever been killed by a wind turbine, a member of the general public. Of course, workers and electricians are another story. I speak as an electrician. We have a dangerous job. But when it comes to public health and public safety, wind turbines are one of the most benign sources of energy that we can possibly find. So we have to decide as a society, are we willing to take shadows and a little bit of humming or swishing noises at around 40 or 50 decibels at the night? Is that a reason enough to say, no, wind power is not an option, that this is not something good for our people? I don't see it.
Our guest is Jenny Heinzen. She is Small Wind Coordinator for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. She's also a member of the state's Wind Siting Council. And we are talking with her about the bill that Senator Frank Lissay is introducing that would require the PSC to consider local ordinances when approving wind turbines. And we're welcoming your questions, your thoughts on this, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Taking a check of the weather for today, mostly sunny. Highs will be in the mid-40s in the north to the low 50s in the south. Tonight, becoming cloudy in the northwest with a slight chance of light snow. Lows will be in the upper 20s to low 30s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of snow in the northwest during the day, spreading statewide overnight. 3 to 5 inches of snow possible across southern and southeastern Wisconsin. Tomorrow night, apparently. Highs in the low 30s in the north to the low 50s in the far southeast. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 8 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 10th. Coming up after 7, we will discuss the debate that's going on over debates, all of the debates that we have been seeing through this presidential primary season, with a guest who says there should be fewer of them over a longer period of time. That's coming up after 7. Right now, we are talking about wind energy in Wisconsin and a new bill that would require the Public Service Commission to consider local ordinances when approving wind turbines. And we're welcoming your thoughts and your questions for our guest, Jenny Heinzen, Small Wind Coordinator for the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, a member of the state's Wind Siting Council, who opposes this bill that was introduced by Republican State Senator Frank Lissay of DePere. And again, Jenny, just to clarify, you oppose this bill mainly because you think it would stop just an individual homeowner from putting a solar panel on his roof?
Well, that's part of it, and although solar is not necessarily addressed in this bill, it does run off that same state statute that protects solar and wind owners, absolutely.
So if I just wanted to put a windmill on my property somehow.
Right. This bill would also affect that, saying that if you had a local ordinance in your city, town, or village that said you need a half a mile setback for all wind installations, you wouldn't be allowed to do so.
Yeah. You think that's just inadvertent or on purpose?
I think all wind, whether big or large, has been found guilty by association through this wind siting debate that we've had in the state for the last couple of years. I think a lot of times people just forget about it. They hear wind power and they think big wind farms. They think, you know, Fond du Lac and things like that, when they forget that there are quite a few, many, many small residential and small commercial wind turbines that are providing power to homes and businesses and schools, you know, throughout the state. It would affect them all.
We have many callers, and including Linda Berry, who we have had as a guest on this program before. Linda, what do you think of Frank Lassay's bill?
Well, I understand why Frank Lassay has put this bill forward, because the PSC 128, which has a setback of 1,250 feet from a person's home, and the new turbines are 50 stories tall, that isn't going to give the kind of protection. It gives protection for the wind developers, but it doesn't give enough protection for the people who are living in the projects. And I speak from, I was also really curious, like a lot of your callers. You know, you go during the day, you stand under the turbine, you don't really hear anything. But I've been writing a book, and I've been following six families for the last 3 years now who are living in wind projects, mostly in Fond du Lac County. And I've gone and stayed at their houses, and I've stayed all overnight at their homes, which is an odd thing to do, to show up to do, just to kind of understand the experience that they're having. And the thing that I found is that no house in a wind project has the same experience with noise in another house. It has to do with where you are in relationship to the turbine, which way the wind's coming. And the newest project that's up right now in Brown County in the town of Glenmore, I know already of four families, well, two have left their home, just abandoned their homes because of noise. The noise is a really hard thing to explain until you spend the night in someone's house. I think of the 10 nights that I've spent up in Fond du Lac, probably three weren't problematic. And probably three nights I could definitely hear the turbines, but it was like having the washing machine going in the basement, which isn't a good sound. And then I'd say about three of the nights were impossible to sleep. And that's when the wind happened to be coming. We were behind the turbines, and there was this pounding in the room that's like a low-frequency sound. I don't know if it's low-frequency. I just know it felt like a drum inside the house. And what's strange is when you step outside, the wind isn't as noisy. And so there are all these, the noise part is really difficult to explain, but here's what's not difficult to explain. People are having interrupted sleep, and when you don't get sleep, you do have health problems. So of these six families that I've been following, one abandoned their homes, three have been able to sell, but they all had acreage, and two other are left, and they both would like out, but they don't. They only have small acreage, and so it's a difficult thing to comprehend unless you actually go and talk to the people and live in their homes.
Linda, thank you very much, because we're almost out of time. Jenny Heinzen, these people didn't ask for this, I guess, is what it comes down to. What about those people?
Mm-hmm. And I can understand these arguments more than I can necessarily, understand their particular instances of where they feel they're not getting proper sleep, or they can hear things. And Linda's absolutely right. It depends on the wind. It depends on your direction. It depends on many variables and factors. Again, maybe it does bother some people, but I know many, many people who live within wind farms, and I've visited homes myself, too, who, sure, you can hear them on certain nights, and if it's a summer night and the window's open, you can hear it, and maybe you let it bother you, and maybe some people don't. And I have to say about Glenmore as well, too, there were many people in that area who were vocally, heavily opposed to this project years before it ever went up. So I really believe that they were predispositioned to feel their effects or somewhat, accentuate those predisposition to be annoyed by these turbines.
We have just 30 seconds left. Do you think that Senator Lassay's bill is going to be the answer to this stalemate that we're in right now?
No, I don't. Changing the language in here means changing a whole lot, and including small wind systems as well as the large ones. So I think the repercussions are too great to let this bill go through. But, perhaps more compromise. Perhaps the Wind Siting Council needs to meet again. But I really feel that the rules that were made in PSC 128 are a good start, and it's time to get Wisconsin back installing megawatts again, because the other states in the Midwest are just leaving us behind.
Thank you very much, Jenny Heinzen. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.